How's it, guys? Welcome once again. I really enjoyed that time in God's presence. I was really blessed by that. Welcome if you're here for the first time. I'll quickly do a short summary of what we've been doing. Not to bore anybody else, but just to make sure that we're on the same page. We are looking at new life. The Lord gave us a promise for this year of new life. Even in this moment of worship, I just can just sense how life just returns to my heart. But we also said to one another that we need healthy hearts if we want to see the new life of God. And so we can all fake it until we make it, or sometimes not make it in life. But unfortunately, the Lord is also the God that sees the heart. And we said to one another, for healthy hearts will be the only conduit, will be the only place, seedbed, garden bed, that we will be able to see new life from. I think we all know by now, if you're in a good space where life comes from your life, you listen to a song or you had the time in worship, like I believe we just had, and there's life there. We call it Zoe Life. Now, I won't repeat everything, don't worry, but God is after our hearts. And He wants to make sure that we are honest of where our hearts are often. So the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the hearts, and we said, hey guys, check your heart. When is it that you see what really comes out of your heart? Just quickly, when do you see what is actually in your heart? When you're under pressure. When George stands up and speaks about giving. Then all of a sudden, what is in my heart is reflected for a moment. If you drive in front of me and I didn't know you from church, what is really in my heart, let's be honest, comes out of my heart. When my kids drive me up the freaking wall at home, and I don't have the mic in my hand, and the anointing is not so much on me, then what is in my heart comes up. When I'm really pressured in ministry, and another person says, no, they can't make it, or not this, or not that, and you're really discouraged, when you're really under pressure, that is when what is in your heart is shown. But what is in our hearts is true to God. He knows what is in our hearts. And so, I want to encourage you that God is not hard, and He's definitely not hard on us, but He wants us to look at our hearts. Our hearts is our soul, and that is our will, mind, and emotion. So we need to make sure that whatever is cooking in your mind, will, and emotions is actually safe. And then when you're under pressure, that what will come out is a pure fragrance to the Lord. Godliness. Amen. Godliness. Amen. Amen. So we've been looking at that. In this process of opening up this can of worms, we also just keep our eyes on Christ. We know that we are new creations, but there's a working out. So who's keen on working on their hearts? Lacka.
I hope you were honest, because God knows your heart.
But let's look at what the Lord wants to do. So we started off last week. We all only got about 2/3 down the line, so I'll be finishing up that sermon today. Next week, Jan Gorenstein, he's a psychiatrist, will be psychologist. Potato, potato for Afrikaans. But anyway, he'll be coming to teach, and he's a great, solid guy. Some of us have actually visited him and have been for him for counseling and just professional help, including myself in the season of my life. And he comes with a message of hope, because he's been seeing a lot of clients in and through and after COVID, if I may say so. People really struggling in the season. So I just thought, how about getting him in, a guy that knows the Lord but also sees what people are going through in our culture, to come and speak to us about what's happening in our hearts. So that is the first thing. Secondly, Petri will then share on the healing that we need that happens in worship. Now, I don't know about you, but if we just kept on like this for a couple of days, we will walk out of here brand spanking new people, because in His light we will see light. And so I'm looking forward to that. The week thereafter, I'll have Anel in. What's Anel's surname? Rademan, of course. And we'll have, she's from a ministry that we've been dealing with quite a lot. And we'll have a couch session. But I'm going to ask her a couple of tough questions and let her share her heart with us. And so we're going to look at the practical things of how you can get healed up. Juanita here, they've got a ministry down the road where they do counseling, inner healing with people. And there's a mirage, there's a heck of a lot of people that we can chat to, that we can go to, that can help us just with figuring out things if life has knocked us down. Who's ever had a hard knock in life? couple of bumps and bruises. Pete Scazzaro calls it the earthquake moment that actually changes your life. Not for the good always. But if we go through the earthquakes, God says, I'll be waiting on the other side of the earthquake moment, and I've got answers for you, but come to me. And that's what I want to say. Before we look at where we can go practically, I want us to turn to God first. Amen? Because we can run after a bunch of other things and not to God. But God wants us to turn to Him. And so last week we looked at that. Turning to God, looking at Scripture, He is the source, looking at Him and His presence, and just making sure that we turn to Him because His character is sure. So this week we'll be going on from there. I'm going to quickly pray for us. Lord, I thank you that we are trusting not only for process, but also for an anointing of your Holy Spirit to bring healing in lives in our church community. Not only us, Lord, but even those whose lives we are fortunate enough to touch. Lord, I pray for an honest moment right now, where the Holy Spirit can just come and convict. He's not hard, He's not harsh, He's a counselor, a comforter, a helper, coming to say, hey, there might be one or two relational in us. There might be one or two earthquake moments that we need to talk about, because otherwise you're going to bleed on other people. So Holy Spirit, convict now. If this is the season, this is the time where we can process some trauma, where we can process where we need healing, Lord, and I put my heart down on the table first. I say, Lord, you know my weakness. Lord, you know where I am not Christ-like yet. But I put my heart before you and I say, Lord, have your way. And likewise, those that are able to say that in their hearts, Lord, here's my heart. Come and do your thing. Come and bring Christ into my heart. Wherever there was brokenness, Lord, come and bring restoration. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I think that's a good prayer. We could have actually just ended there. Let the Lord do His work. And so if you're willing, it might be uncomfortable, but the Lord wants you to speak deep into your life. There's a mirage of things that people we can go to. So I've also gone to a couple of places where I can just get nourishment for my soul. Where I see I've been bleeding, or I see a habitual habit or a sin coming out of my life, fruit that really sucks, then I'm like, okay, I need to attend to this. I can't fix myself. And the Lord has given us the church. He's given us His body. The beauty is we think we can fix ourselves and sort ourselves out, but there's a part of me in the body, and there's a part of me in you. Sounds a bit weird, but in a biblical sense, there's a part of me that I can only find healing from and revelation when Christ manifests Himself through Pietri, through Edna, through Bernard, through George, and the rest of you guys. And so we need people. I remember heard about Pieter en Lilian Tromp. Who's ever heard about Pieter en Lilian Tromp? Okay, they do deliverance, befreiding, where they chase away demons. Now, who likes that as a topic? Okay, great. All four of us, so listen up. So I decided, heard about that, I thought, well, I'm a pastor, I might as well just go for a checkup. Alright, so it's like, you have this knee, you might go to a GP, or you can go to a knee specialist. And I decided, well, maybe I should just go, went on the course, loved it. It would just really open up my eyes to the nonsense that the enemy does, but also the beauty and the grace in simplicity of the Word of God when it's made manifest. Now, long story short, I went to the course, I went then for a session. So, who's ever got? Oh, well, I've gone for a session for deliverance. And just quickly, I want to demystify that there's just some people that need to go for help. Hey guys, if you close our eyes, I want to tell you with lots of respect, we all need help. You might be cool, you might be good doing a good job in the season, but it's just a matter of some pressure. And we all realize we need some help. It might be seasonal, it might be God in the middle of the night, or it might be somebody professional, or then Pieter en Lilian Tromp. So I go for the deliverance session with Pieter, like he's the main grenade. Like, so if you want to go for deliverance, he's the guy. So I go for the session, I come out, I come home. It has obviously, she's been praying a lot for me. I get home, I'm like, clean bill of health. They found nothing. She turns around, she said, you can't drive out a personality, can you? And I'm like, gee, thanks. I thought it would be great that you don't have demons, but apparently the Lord, Peter kan nie my persoonlikheid verander nie. So some of our things are personality traits. It's soul traits. It's not always demons. It's actually just you. So anyway, that's just what I want to say is that she's a loving, caring, very humble wife with a little bit of wisdom, as you've heard. But it's not that bad thing to go for help. We're going to look at those practical things. We're still actually just looking to God. That's where we started, because we're saying to each other, if you want a healed heart, we need to look to God. If you go buy a baby chair for your car, you want something that has actually been tested, right? You're not going to buy the thing from... Okay, no, can't even say that. From a cheap...
The 5 grand
store, yes. You can't buy that thing. You want to know that this car seat has been tested. And not just tested by falling off a bench, tested under pressure. And likewise, why not give our hearts to the Lord now that He can deal with certain stuff, then wait for the pressure of life to come, to squeeze everything out of you, and then something pops up that you're struggling to deal with. And so deal with it now. Here's a season. Here's a safe space. Here I am. Here we are. There's lots of people that you can say, I want to chat to you. So let's do that by first returning to God. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Do you still believe that God can heal emotionally? I believe He can heal physically, but do you believe He can heal physically? I think some things sometimes creep into our life so habitually, and it's been there in the cupboard for years and years and years, and you're like, I don't even know if God can still heal me of this. Might be some sin, something, some habit that you know is there. It might just be a thought pattern that can be broken down by the Lord. But I want to encourage you, God can heal whatever it might be. Do you believe that? Amen. So now we're moving on. We looked at a couple of things and we are saying, why do we turn to God first when it comes to healing? Why don't I just go to Young Women and say, why don't I just go read that bestseller book, Be the Best You Can Be Now, with the guy's face on the front page? Why do I go to God first? The fifth thing is because of love. And please don't switch off there. I think we need to stand still and think again, Lord, come and show me again what real love is. Lord, come and redefine love for me. If I say love, who thinks Valentine's Day? Come on, be honest. You see, Kerk mense. Well done, guys. Well done. But I'm certain that we sometimes fight over these things that seem so normal. But if we profoundly knew how deep and how beautiful and how perfect love is, we will turn to love to come and restore and bring the healing in our hearts that we need. Last week we said, in His presence we are seen perfectly and loved unconditionally. In His presence we are seen perfectly and loved unconditionally. Guys, there's only one person under the sun, above the sun, or over the sun, bigger than the sun. God Himself that knows you perfectly. Not even your wife, after a number of years, knows you perfectly. She doesn't even know herself perfectly. But anyway, that's maybe a chat for another day. But God knows you perfectly and He sees you and loves you unconditionally. So where did the wounds come from? What's the wounding reality again? We said that the enemy comes. He comes attacks demonically. It's not so weird. It's very normal. It comes by thoughts. A thought comes to mind, as I testified out of my own life, thinking when my mom and dad broke up, and for the reasons they broke up, that I am now rejected. And so this lie comes of the enemy. I believe the lie. That poison actually comes and hurts my soul. Because now I start habitually thinking in ways of rejection, etc. And so out of that, habits come, because I just constantly want to heal this hurt in my life. Now, I don't know what daddy wounds, or mommy wounds, or sibling rivalry wounds, or church wounds, or friendship wounds you have suffered in your life. But unfortunately, there are a couple. Amen? We don't give them power, we don't make it our identity, but we deal with it. And so the enemy comes, and he steals relationally. And we said last week, then the healing will come where? Relationally. What is the irony if the hurt came in church? What is the irony if the hurt came in a long-term relationship or a marriage that unfortunately broke up or a dad that just was never there? What happens? Will you go back to a dad figure? Will you go back to a churchy environment? Will you go back to marriage per se? When I met Edna, and I'm just going to say this again vulnerably, when I met Edna, I'd been partying quite hard at that stage, and we spoke, and I said to her, I don't believe in marriage. That was just my statement. I don't believe in marriage. If I'm married, it will be to get kids. That was it. And I'm the last person under the sun. I can't think of that, the brokenness of those statements. And in Jesus' name, they're so wrong. But it was birthed out of a place of hurt. And so God had, where relationship and the fallout of relationship has broken something inside of me, the Lord came through relationship to restore. Who's willing to say, I will get into relationship, godly relationship again, to see restoration? Because I believe that's the only way. It's with God first. And so John 10:10, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life and life in abundance. So there's a couple of, you can go to the next one, just a couple of things that I've been throwing around, just thoughts. It's not perfection, by all means, none of it is, but I believe it's biblical. And so what the enemy can come and do in your life, and you can maybe tick a couple of boxes, either mom, dad, siblings, that bully at school, or whatever the case may be, the guy at church, unfortunately, the lady at work. But what can happen is the enemy comes to steal, he brings disappointment, but yet we want faithfulness from Christ. The enemy comes with lies, Jesus comes with truth. The enemy comes with deception in relationships, and he brings brokenness. But God says no, through relationship with God, trusting to God, let him heal you up. God can what? Restore trust. Who's very keen on getting back into a number of situation so that the Lord can bring healing. Ek en Karen, kry. Dit ben Jesus met my. Hallelujah. Hating rejection, yet we want acceptance. Doubt, yet he wants to give us boldness in Christ. Confusion. Who's ever been confused of who they are? Because you did not grow up in the typical family or typical home. There's a lot of brokenness in your community around you. Nowhere you see a stable father and a stable mother and a couple of semi-stable kids. You don't see that. The enemy comes and robs what? Identity. But yet, the Lord wants to give us true identity. Uncertainty and unbelief, yet he wants to give us faith. Shame and condemnation. That's something I know well. Who knows shame and condemnation? That's what the enemy loves to use to pacify us. Yet, the Lord wants to give us righteousness and freedom. Instability and chaos. You don't have to put up your hands, but I'm sure in this auditorium there's been people that grew up with a fair amount of instability and chaos. And so now you see this blood in your soul and you're like, come on, this is not God's heart. Lord, I turn to you, come, because I want stability and security. The enemy gives fear. Yet Jesus says, I want to give him love. So when we trust for healing, amen. When we trust for healing, we need to turn to love. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 as an example. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The way I remember it. Love, power, and a sound mind. Fear comes and cripples you. Relation fear wants to cripple you. Even in walking into this church, if anything, the enemy would love to just convince you of something fearful, that what? Trust can be stolen from you. Power. Power comes when you're bold, when you're in right standing. Yet, when he comes with fear, God says, no, there's power, boldness, there's love, and there's a sound mind. The thing is of a soul that is hurting. A wounded soul is a soul that's not thinking right. It's very simply what it is. A broken heart, it's just a heart that is not seeing God's perspective. Can I say that again? Are you with me? A broken heart is just a heart that is not thinking right, that is not seeing God's perspective. That's it. That is absolutely it. And so we turn to God, we turn to love, and say, fix my thinking. We're going to look at thinking. Fix my thinking, Lord. May I see as you see. So why is love part of the answer? Do you believe love is part of the answer? You might sit in here and say, ek maak hier absoluut niks. Let's check. Or let me drive in front of you, take your money or something. But anyway, let's chat. I'm just joking.
Oy, oy, oy.
If some of you guys come back, I will definitely know it was God. That was just a joke. Anyway, why do we see love as being part of the answer? Because firstly, we're going to look at five things. I'm just going to run through them very quickly. Because God is love. If you turn on Netflix, if you page through whatever you page through, Facebook, and you see love written all over the place, you see memes and stuff. That's not love. God is love. I'm going to repeat that. God is love. I know you say I know it, but let it settle again in your heart. Let's read. 1 John 4:7-12. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. I turn to God because God is love. If that's the only thing you remember today, I turn to God because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live in him. In this, I'm going to read verse 9 again. In this, the love of God was made manifest. So, God sent his Son because that was his way to love us. Jesus was sent because it was an act of God's love to fix our mess. And then we'll see in verse 7, so that we might live through him. Verse 10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the, all the Afrikaans people say, propitiation. Come on.
Propitiation.
That's it, well done. For our sins, to love. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides us in us, and his love is perfected in us. And so, firstly, we turn to God, for God is love. And you see there an enablement that God is loving us. And then he says, well, then you need to do what? Love others. Have you ever seen that with a broken heart? It's really hard work to love. You get this, you get close, social distancing love. You get close, but you can't get closer. Get this like crusty, yeah. But you know what I'm saying. You get close, but not close enough. You can't get closer. Because constantly these things just come up. A broken heart, a hurting soul, splinters, whatever you want to define it as, will always come up, and it's tough to love other people. It's tough to be around other people. I usually ask somebody if I meet somebody or somebody says, oh, this is such a great guy, this is such a cool person, meet them. I'm like, I want to meet their friends. Show me their friendships. Show me their friendships, because it will tell me a lot more about them than what they might be showing me. I'm going to say that again. I often ask, or I think, somebody says, this is really cool, sorted out, very godly person. I want to see their friends. I want to see their friendships. Because that will show me much more of what they might be hiding in any of it. Why? Because we felt funny? No, because sometimes we don't deal with our stuff. And Jesus is saying to this church in this season, if you're willing, you don't have to. But if you're willing, let's deal with our stuff. Amen. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Secondly, why do we need love? Because love was firstly an act. It was an act of love that this all revolves around. Let's look at that act of love. John 3:16, you all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We want eternal life. God's act of giving his Son was an act of love. Agape. We're going to look at agape very quickly. Shortly. But it was an act of love. This act of love is, and listen up closely, here's a tip. If you say, well, yeah, something is bleeding, it's not that rough, but let's deal with it. If you want to get help, or you just listen to a friend over WhatsApp and they're ministering to you, whatever the case may be, you pray, you read something. If the act of love of Christ coming down to earth, the act of God loving us as humans, if that is not the cornerstone, if that is not the center of the program that you follow, or the book that you're reading, or the counselor that you seek, you are wasting your time. I'm going to say that again. If the love of God in Christ, manifest through Christ, is not the center point of the help that we're getting, I don't believe it's real help whatsoever. I know that's a tough call to make. I'm just referring to Scripture. That only through love we can be helped. Who is love? God is love. And so you can go to a lot of things, lots of programs, but it will either lead you to more bondage or just keep you busy or just be a bit of a plaster. Band-aid for a couple of moments, but it will not go to the core where only love can bring balance, where only love can come fix what was broken relationally. Amen? Third thing, love rescues. Why do I turn to God to say, Lord, come and touch my life? Because love rescues. It's part of Jesus' mandate. 1 John 3:8 goes on to say in the second sentence, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. Have you seen relational fallout, works of the devil in your life?
Yes.
Do you see them in your family? Do you experience some of them? We don't glorify them. We don't make it a big hoo-ha, but we say we want to deal with it. Jesus came. Jesus came. So whatever brokenness came through your family line, if dad was like that and Opa was like that and Opa Frankie was like that, guess what? It stops with love. If mom did that, if Oma did that, and Oma Frankie did that, that's mom, grandma, and after grandma. If they did that, it stops with you in Jesus. It stops with you in love. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours to believe the word. The choice is yours to put up your hand. The choice is yours to say, I'm honest. When I check my heart, I'm honest. This is where I'm at. This is not the true me, but this is something that I need to deal with in my soul, and I'm trusting Christ can do that. So this week, don't have much time, but this week, again, don't go for it often. But now and again, when I realize, when my wife realizes and has been pushing me for a couple of weeks or months, I also go and I chat to people. I have normal accountability with Pietri, with Hein, sometimes with Deval. But then professionally, when I just see something losing my life, something that's just not, it's something that I'm not sorting out on my own with the Lord, I get people to chat to. And so I went to Anel, this week, and I had a couch session with her for 2 hours. Cried like a little boy, like a baby. Again, for about the fourth time. And you never know where you're going to go. It's very simple. I go, I sit down, we chat, we pray. Then we trust the Lord. She's got a great tool with the Lord that she uses. And it's God just counseling me. It's scriptural. It's godly. And we can go back. We went back to a place, a season in my life where in my family scenario, my family environment was really cold. Not physically, we didn't stay in another place. It was just emotionally, spiritually cold, and it wasn't a safe space. That left a mark. That left a dent in my life. And so I wanted to then, because of that, try to protect myself from certain habits and go-tos came into my life. And so I see certain fruits. It's not the fruit that's the issue. It's the root. And so I sat with her, and it's beautiful how the Holy Spirit just saw in a vision how I just had access to something, and then the Lord came and ministered to me. I can't go into detail. I won't bore you with it. I'll take you for coffee and tell you I don't mind. But it's just beautiful 2-3 places where God just went back and how restoration came. And the question then at the end was, Jesus, where were you? Was saying, love, when this horrific incident happened in Retief's life, putting a bit of emphasis to it, where were you? Jesus, what were you thinking? Love, what were you doing? Love, what do you think about that moment that led to so much brokenness in Retief's life? And so, in that moment, I deal with it. Who loves those moments? None of us really do. But who loves the effect of that moment when healing, restoration, and justice can come? Because guys, sorry to spoil the party, but we are very sensitive. Even the insensitive, seemingly insensitive ones amongst us, of which there's probably hopefully none, is also sensitive. We very neatly put together. And unfortunately, I give him no credit. The enemy knows that. And so he would love to put a dent in that, because if he puts a dent in that, you will not see who you are in Christ and what you truly called for. And we won't be the sons that stand up to shine for the Lord like we can and should be. But love wants to do that in our lives. Now God is the one to turn to, because he is love, and love is agape. Agape is, if you go and look at the definitions, there's three or four in the Greek, in the New Testament, don't have time for all of them. But agape is one that does not come natural to man. Who loves his family with true agape love all the time? But we do try. Agape is God's divine love. There you go. God's divine love. Agape love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. That's big words. Who's getting married soon? A couple of you guys, you don't have to put up, you can't put up your hands, because you're excited, of course. I'm going to say nothing now. Let's be excited, because God, who loves you, agape, and you, agape, guys, lives inside of you. And so, agape is to selflessly love, sacrificially love, and unconditionally love. Sorry, I'm done. Agape is a term that defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is his ongoing, outgoing, self-sacrificing concern for lost and fallen people. Hey, that's us! That's good news! We are agape by God, and he's like, hey, if you just acknowledge you're a bit broken, guess what? I'm for you. I've got your back. I love you. I don't want to see you stay in that place. God gives his love without condition, unreservedly, to those who are undeserving and inferior to himself. God is love, and he loves us with agape love. Who wants some agape?
Thank you, Edmund.
Why do we turn to God? Because he is love. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy. This is God. This is God firstly, and then he can be this through you to others. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proudful. Just think of those relationships that you did get hurt in life. I can honestly say that maybe love was not in that place of relationship where you got hurt. Either by a mom, dad, a sibling, a boss, somebody at church, somebody at work. Love is patient, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. Look to your neighbor quickly and say, love 138. Look to your neighbor. Look to your other neighbor, say love 138. Boy, my boy. Love never fails. So before we go sit on the couch, before we have a cookie and a tea with somebody, before we go through a program, and I don't knock any of those, because I am the first one that also do go to them, and I make use of those that God gives us. If we turn to God, he is first and foremostly the one that knows what we need, and he says, I will not fail. Love does not fail. Love does not fail. The last one, why do we turn to love? Why don't we turn to God? Because nothing. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what has been done to you. I don't know the earthquake moments and the sucky things that have happened to you. Your story might be the most ridiculous, crazy, hurtful story in the human history. And there is some pretty whack ones out there. But here's the thing. Nothing can separate us from love. Love 138. Love does not fail. And then there's no hurt, no soul hurt, no broken heart, no pieces that God cannot put back together through his love. We have no clue. We don't have a big clue. We don't have a great clue of how perfect and how deep and how wide real love is. To define love today is like to define God. And I'll give you the mic. Go for it. It's not easy. Let's read scripture. Romans 8, 35, 39. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? as it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. So he says, hey Christians, by the way, it's not going to be easy. Jesus also says, in this world you will suffer. Woohoo! Amen. Yes. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. Interesting, by the way, people love to quote that verse. Maybe not the line prior to that verse. Yes, anyway. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. Your aina, the wound, cannot define you. If you know that you are more than victorious because of the one that loves you, and that love is God, that love does not disappoint or fail, and that love can reach any and every way. Amen? There's no shame. There's no aina. There's no chacha. There's no sin. Then once you become humble and say, yes, please, that love cannot come and reach into. There's no brokenness. There's no family tree that is totally messed up that love cannot reach into. For I'm persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come. In other words, don't sweat too much about the demons. Acknowledge, know what he does, learn from it. Hostile powers, hate of death, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love never fails. Love 138. And then love can reach any and everywhere. I want you to stand with me as I'm going to close with the last one, 1.6, and that is Jesus. We're going to close this part of the series, namely that before we get any help, we turn to God because he's our source, because of his character, because of his presence, because this is what he does, and because of love. But lastly, all of them, I believe, is beautifully brought together if we just simply look to Christ. Christ said in the Gospels that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, the last 2 weeks we've been looking at looking to God. But if you see Jesus in the Gospels, you see Jesus again, you lock eyes with Christ, you see who our dad is. You see the saving dad that says, hey, I've seen your aina, like a girl. I see that bent nature, but let me make it straight again through my son. Isaiah 61, you know by now, but this is what the Spirit came for. This is what Christ came for. And this is what we're praying for us. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive, and release from darkness to the prisoners. To comfort all who mourn, to provide for them that grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And so this is our inheritance, but we need to take it. So what do we bring? We bring our honesty before him. We say, here's my heart. You're a sucker, but it's okay, because you come and fix our mess, because through an act of love, you started all of this, and you will not stop. You bring your honesty, and then you listen. You say, what should I do now? And you trust that God will complete what he started. For his love does not fail. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your grace these last 2 weeks. Thank you, Lord, that we can turn to you. And thank you, Lord, we do not camp where we see hurt and brokenness, but we look it straight in the eye and we say, my God's got this. My God, in his love, will not disappoint. Lord, we don't make it our identity, but we say we are going to become healed and solid, healthy people so that new life can reach other people. We're not going to be self-involved, but we want to be God involved in what you are doing. And so, Lord, thank you today for your Holy Spirit that just speaks to us. If there's a conviction moment, you just say what you want to say to God. Lord, I want to get to know your real love. Love. Maybe just raise your hand. Say, I want to know your real love for me. That love that does not fail. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. And if you know that there's areas in your heart that needs to be loved right, maybe also just put up your hand. This is an act towards God and a commitment towards him that he has worked to do in your life and you are willing. That's it. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you, God, that we invite you in. We wholeheartedly give ourselves to you and say, Lord, have your way. Complete what you started, for your love never fails. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.